everybody. It's Kai. We are back. This is a special mini episode of this podcast we're doing. It's called Make Me Smart.
That's right. I am Molly. You may remember our mini episodes from before we launched the show. But here's what happened.
Yeah, well, so here's what happened. We did the actual show on Tuesday. Some stuff happened. We wanted to get back into it and continue this conversation that we are going to have with you guys on this podcast because that's what we want to do. I, of course, am Kai Rizdahl. The show is called Marketplace. Molly, tell us who you are.
I am Molly Wood, senior tech correspondent for the Marketplace radio program. This is Make Me Smart, the podcast. You have landed in the right place. If you did not mean to board this plane, please let your flight attendant know immediately.
I always wonder how people get on the wrong planes. Listen, here. So this is, honest to God, it's going to take like 10 minutes because I just have a couple of things I want to run through, and Molly has a couple of things she wants to run through. I get to start, though, since I started talking first. This is the Bow Down to Molly Wood mini episode of Make Me Smart. No, it is.
Come on. It is.
And here's why. Because on Tuesday, the last one of these that we did, you had this unbelievable insight about business and the current state of politics in America, which is that because our politics is so paralyzed, it's entirely possible that business is going to have to become part of the checks and balances of what we do. And lo and behold, in the last like 48 to 72 hours, that is kind of coming true. Mm-hmm. It is kind of coming true.
It is kind of coming true, and it is becoming a topic of discussion. Like, I will say that I think, you know, that insight was only fueled by the thing that came right before it, which was you saying what Bloomberg has now said today, almost word for word, which is that the part of the reason that we're seeing businesses jump in en masse, right? Because we definitely saw a lot of fear after the election, fear of being individually targeted and having stock prices drop as a result, a little bit of hesitance to get into the political fray. Reasonable, frankly. We're seeing them come off the bench now. And a big part of the reason is something that Kai said, which is that without a legal framework, business starts to feel like the sand is shifting underneath them. They need the stability of trusting in our legal framework. And what you said was laws mean something. And once you can throw some part of the legal playbook out the window, then that is bad for the entire system.
Right. And that, of course, goes to the executive order. Now, let me just – the thing that's prompted in my mind the need to do this episode was a thing that Thomas Friedman wrote in the New York Times. And I'm not saying he listened to this podcast, but who knows? He literally said the day after our podcast dropped, he said, oh, look, businesses of America, you have to do something. So this isn't just us rambling in a podcast. It's out there and abroad, and it is something that is now genuine. You know what I mean? Not that New York Times validates everything, but it gets picked up.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny part is that when I read that Friedman column, which basically said, help us. You're our only hope, right?
It literally did.
Elon Musk, you are Princess Leia here. Like, you're our only hope.
That's a mental image you just thought.
That created, exactly. I was just going to say that created like a mental image juxtaposition that I can't unsee. But I want someone to Photoshop him with the buns now.
We're counting on you. That's listener engagement. Please do that. Hit us up on Twitter.
He said, you're our only hope. You're the only thing that at this point Donald Trump might listen to, right? Because President Trump has shown a disinterest in listening to Congress or anybody but a small group of advisors. Now, I think this is a good place to point out that there are, as with all things, unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. And I think the law on unintended consequences around businesses having a huge stake in our private lives is pretty clear here. That can go horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally.
So what we're seeing is the start of a trend that could end in ways we actually don't like.
Yeah,
and I think it's really important to point that out.
That is totally right. And the other part of this discussion has to be that businesses are motivated by other things than a normal checks and balances system is motivated by, right? And exhibit A on that one is this thing that Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, said in a I guess it was a forum or whatever it was a couple of days ago. She was in conversation and she said, and let's remember, Sheryl Sandberg was at that meeting of tech companies in Trump Tower a week or two ago, or was it, right? Yeah. Anyway, so she basically...
We've lived every day twice since then, Kai.
It's all going so fast. And I, of course, can't find the piece of paper that I need right now. But she basically said, hey, you know what? Part of the reason businesses can't lean in right now and criticize the president sharply is that... And you... Oh, by the way, oh my God, here it is. Another thematic continuation of the Bow Down to Molly Wood podcast. Because you said this... No, seriously, you said this on the air on Marketplace like a month ago. You said, listen, these are for-profit companies. The president has enormous influence over regulation and how we do business. And Sheryl Sandberg took that page out of your playbook and used it the other day. And she said, listen, we need to work with the administration. We are companies. We have customers. We have to be able to have these conversations. So really, as you think about companies as part of the checks and balances, you have to say, listen, they are motivated by different things.
You absolutely do. And I think you also have to point out that as much as some of this may start to look like, I wrote a blog post about this after our show, as much as some of this might start to look like moral capitalism, it is not in every case. Certainly there are companies, you know, I think Starbucks is coming out and taking a moral stance. Netflix is saying, we are concerned that these actions are un-American. But a lot of them are feeling emboldened to stand up specifically against the executive order on immigration because of fiduciary duty. Especially, there's a big reason why Silicon Valley is a big part of this. It's because foreign-born workers hold 67.3% of Silicon Valley's computer and math jobs, right?
Wow.
It's disproportionately gigantic. Laszlo Bloch is Google's senior vice president of HR, basically, and said immigrants have founded 40% of the companies in the tech sector that were financed by venture capital and went on to become public. In 2012, those companies employed 560,000 workers and generated $63 billion in sales.
Right.
Don't confuse, right, the idea of business becoming part of the system of checks and balances with businesses suddenly only having an altruistic viewpoint. But there is a possibility that they may put shareholder value in the short term aside because they are unquestionably risking not only President Trump's wrath, but also boycotts by their own customers.
Yeah. Totally. All right. So that honestly, that's all I wanted to get out there. The Bow Down to Molly Wood episode, because because seriously, I mean, those are like blinding insights.
I'm a Midwesterner and I'm uncomfortable with compliments, Kai. We have some comments. This would be a good time to highlight a couple listener responses because hallelujah, there was a comment on the blog. I was just was like, that never happens. Gary in Florida said Trump wants to make it easier for businesses to grow and prosper, which would seemingly take place in the global market, but he wants to go the nationalist America first route. Isn't that sort of self-defeating? And he goes on a little way and he says, look, the Donald maybe, he said, the people that put him in office did so because of an emotional bias that stems from years of the American dream fading away for so many of us. But an economy, global or otherwise, does not work well when emotion is in charge, as we learned in the Great Recession. He has some really good comments.
Yeah, they were great. And what he says is not wrong, right? I mean, there's a huge swath of people out there who are looking for exactly this, and that's what they get. So here's Kate Carpenter on Facebook. She said, has there been any mention of corporations threatening to leave in order to assure their multinational workforce can travel as needed? And then she says in parentheses, P.S. I love trains. I love Marketplace. This is double plus good. Close parentheses. So, you know, that's my favorite comment. No companies are talking about leaving because the president of the United States will tweet at them.
Right, exactly.
Literally, that's it.
This is the fine line because he has been very clear that he will punish, and he's used that language, punish companies that outsource.
So,
not so far.
But what's interesting is he literally said, listen, you can move anywhere in the United States, but you can't move overseas. So when I was in Erie 10 days, 2 weeks ago, there was a huge GE transportation factory there that a year ago laid off 1,500 people and sent them to where? Texas. Where it's a right-to-work state, where wages are lower, and so Erie is hosed, and Texas gets the jobs. I mean, you know, there's
it's fascinating.
There's no winning on this one because
there are a lot of ways to outsource.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
A lot of ways.
Right.
Anna Abaya, to the point about the risk that companies take when they step into the political arena, we got several notes about Starbucks. There's a boycott Starbucks hashtag trending. Anna Abaya says, I was listening to your piece on corporations taking political stands. I used to buy Starbucks coffees for my daughter and vanilla bean drinks for my boys. Sometime last year, I decided to stop buying Starbucks because they support Planned Parenthood and I'm Catholic.
Right. And so here's another one. Anonymously submitted in regards to Starbucks hiring 10,000 refugees in response response to Donald Trump. On a show about the economy, why not ask Starbucks why they are holding 10,000 jobs from people that need them now and waiting for a social statement to be made to hire people? If they have the capability to do that, even on a global scale, have they been keeping people out of work to wait to make a point? These are all interesting questions. And it goes back to where we started, actually. And here's the takeaway, that if you're looking for corporate America to actually be the checks and balance, then you have to temper that with they are companies and they are motivated by different things.
Exactly. I think that is at least 50% of the reason we are doing this mini episode now make that point,
totally.
Too. Like, it's not all roses. And then another note from Mike and so many others, and I'm not going to read this whole email, but I am going to say, man, did we get a lot of feedback about Kai using the word tape on our program.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, come on, you guys.
So much.
Ya?
We even got it. We got a tweet from one person saying,
"Yelled at me on Twitter." I know.
There was like a photo of an old fashioned tape reel, or reel to reel deck. I don't even know what you call these things anymore.
It's a reel to reel. God, how long are you having to be? Oh,
a reel to reel deck. I've never worked with tape, but I did used to paste up a newspaper. But indeed, he says, like, one, I'm really happy to see the show, but two, when was the last time anybody actually played a tape or triggered an audio file that was sourced from tape?
not ever in my time at Marketplace, although I will tell you, over in Studio D, there is, I think, I haven't been back there in a while because it's kind of like the Island of Lost Boys back there, but there is a reel-to-reel tape machine. Seriously, I'm sure it doesn't work, but and I don't know if we keep it like for museum purposes or emergencies or what, but it's
pretty
a reel-to-reel
sure
thing.
You just got uninvited.
I know. I know.
And then I am going to point out, right. I didn't even put this in because this is just for me, that at least three parents, including at least one at the Marketplace building, thanked me for validating their toddler leftover breakfast existence.
Yes, toddler leftover. First of all, your kid is like 10, but second of all, you, a grown-up, had a freaking cold waffle with peanut butter and jelly.
You bet I did. And then when he listened to our show, he goes, "You ate my waffle?" I'm like, you left it there and went to school. Anyway, please keep it coming because, as you can see, we read it all.
We totally do. And while you're at it, don't forget to review this podcast when you're listening to it. It's iTunes, it's Google Play, it's all those things. It really, really helps. Also, every Monday morning, 10:30 Pacific, Facebook Live. This coming week, it's Molly's turn to be in the big picture.
Woohoo! I'm excited. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org is our email address. Our Twitter addresses are at Kai Rizdahl and at Molly Wood, and we will talk to you soon.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.